This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to try that again. Hey, all you Jonah rapists, you Jonah racists, you Jonah race car drivers, you Jonah raidy cats. This is Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it because he's replacing Ozzy Osbourne on another radio show. Today on the show, we have Todd Congelier from music and skateboarding and just San Pedro. And we got DMX singing a Christmas song and some music news. So please enjoy Jonah Radio. All right. For the second week in a row, the theme song is submitted by me from 5 years ago for another song I tried to make for that ill-fated show. Is everything all right, guys? They are now. You want to stop down and figure it out? Okay. Let me introduce the knuckleheads. Our producer, Cash Hartzell, is here. Cash, say glagum.
No.
You gagum.
All right. Wasn't very close. But Neil Mahoney on the Neil Mahoney's with a brand new iPad soundboard. Nope. My brother Adam is here, still not on a microphone. God bless America. Everybody, our guest today is... Now, Neil, you please.
Stop laughing at me.
I thought that was a giraffe. I was like, I didn't know where was that one from. Our guest today is Mr. Todd Congelier. The clapping, the applauding. It's the consistency I like, Neil. It's the consistency to always never.
I don't know.
Kind of do the wrong thing.
I don't have the layout quite yet.
It's all right.
The
it's
audience
a new thing.
Is always. I don't have has to one. Be told to applaud for me.
And if they don't,
that's what that was all about.
They're in their cars. If we let them clap, then they're going to let go of their steering wheel. Then they're going to fucking die.
And then they have control of you. Yeah.
And that's not what I want.
There was
see?
An applause one. I don't know.
Guys, not on the microphones.
I don't think the applause one.
You know what? I think this is a sloppier show when we're not drunk. When we're not drinking, the show somehow gets even worse.
We have no need to overcompensate.
All right. I need a job. Todd, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You have your own podcast, amongst some many other things. The Pottycast.
Yeah.
And
let's talk about it.
Nah.
All right. I don't want to talk about it either. We listened to our latest one today.
Are you going to scrap
Hal
it?
Hal did. I don't really listen to him, but.
I don't listen back to these.
He says it's not good.
He doesn't like it?
Yeah, so I gotta compensate for him tonight.
Yeah. Tonight? Yeah. Tonight we'll totally make it so people will listen to that one.
All right.
Yeah.
No.
You don't want it?
The second one.
Okay.
Where he talks about his cousin.
Did you guys do like one a year?
We took about a year break, and that kinda ruined us in podcast land. So, you know.
Yeah,
I'm here to check it out.
It's hard to keep an audience.
Consistency is what I find to be the thing that makes it work.
That's what I heard. You know who I heard that from?
Mm-hmm. Who?
You through somebody else.
Really?
Yeah. No. Somebody went to you for podcast advice.
Oh, was it Matt Army?
No, I think it was Hal.
Oh, it was probably Hal. Yeah. Who would have thought that one day Hal would be coming to me for advice?
Yeah, he took it seriously.
I thought you were going to say it. You heard Jonah say it like 3 minutes ago when he was making fun of my drops.
No. You were making fun of yourself with your drops. I want to say that our show today is sponsored by Blue Collar Distro. If you want to support the show called Jonah Radio, please go to bluecollardistro.com and buy Jonah Ray shirts, like the ever so unpopular overrated Dioheadshirt, which I was swore was going to just fucking fly off the shelves. I looked at the...
Do the wah-wah-wah.
I guess people really like them. And they're fine. It's just that I just thought it's so funny and clunky, the way the word overrated Diohead. I think it's great.
Damn near impossible to pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a metal band.
Well, now you've instructed everyone.
Yeah, but they're still not buying them.
It took me 2 weeks to read it.
That took you a long time.
It looks like a Radiohead logo, but I don't know what he's getting at.
Yeah, exactly. It's like those old, it's like, does that say Ford? That says fucked. Oh, wow. And they sell this at the Sears? That was when skateboarding started getting into the malls there.
The malls.
All the
shopping
malls.
We're gonna
talk a lot to Todd tonight about his record label, his skating history, his bands, his you
candy
made an
collection.
App and the, like, candy things, candy stacking. We're gonna start off, actually we're gonna play songs from the Recess Records catalog, and so we're gonna start off with one of the latest releases in the past couple years, which I fucking love. It's this band called Audacity.
You get a pick?
Do you want to pick?
No, I'm just
kidding. You can if you want. I almost said
Audacity.
I emailed you.
I want to play Audacity.
That's what I was going to play.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We're okay. Audacity may be the first band to get like the hipster points from Vice Magazine on Recess Records.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were very happy with it.
Was like stars or points?
I don't think. I think it's like
cheeseburgers.
Something. What's weird? You know.
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers are weird.
Really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Wait, can
them.
You cuss on your thing?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
We encourage.
Right. You're like a pussy. So I didn't know.
Used to be. All right. We're gonna play Indian Chief by Audacity. Do you like that song?
I love it.
All right. Check it out. Get this album. It's fucking great. All right. Hey, that was Audacity with the song Indian Chief off the album Mellow Cruisers. Great fucking album. It was a good summer jam. I liked it.
And winter jam, too.
You can jam it in any season, be it with
fall.
Pumpkin spice lattes, not so much. You're right. Man. Fall, not so much.
No.
But, you know, gingerbread. lattes. Yeah, you can jam with that.
Yeah.
Shamrock shakes.
Shamrock shakes.
Sam Adams Summer Brew.
Sam Adams Summer Brew. The you could go for the fall tumbler ale from Sierra Nevada if you wanted to.
We already went over this. Yeah, it's not, doesn't work.
No. Fall. Here's a weird thing. It doesn't get into stores until this winter starts. I don't know why. I think they just brew it during the fall.
Oh.
So it's like your what were those things on Blade called? Daywalkers?
It's your daywalker.
We learn a lot. We learn a lot. Todd.
Hi.
Someone made a documentary about you on Vimeo. It's online, and I watched it, and it was I didn't learn anything new about you.
Well,
except that I didn't know you had as many decks as you did when you were professionally skating.
I think I forgot how many I had. I think there was some that came out that I just
one of them you did not like.
About four of them I didn't. I don't want to be that guy that's like picky about his own pro model, you know. Like,
but isn't that the point, to be picky about the models?
Well, I never really, really gave that much art direction. I just said, hey, can you make like a creep show looking thing? And
yeah.
Came back and I was like, I don't want to tell this guy that he worked 17 months on this. And
17 months?
Yeah.
A little bit of exaggeration, probably like 15 months, but...
Was he carving the deck?
Mike Smith
added part of it?
Well, no, he carved a couple pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Inspiration. And,
Creepshow, you know, and then he had to watch Creepshow 2.
Yeah.
Like, my boss, or skater boss, or whatever it was, he was really cheap. So, towards the end, he made me find people to do it for as cheap as possible instead of paying the $3,000 that.
Like the guy he used.
Mark McKee would always charge, so.
But it's weird, though, because you went on to design all your own deck or your own album artwork. So why didn't you just – because you didn't care? Or?
If I was younger than that now, you know.
Wow.
I learned somewhere.
Yeah.
I could easily do it now. I want to do a skateboard art or art for a skateboard, but I don't care to do it, you know, like –
So nothing's changed then. Everything's exactly.
When I really wanted to do it, I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, it's crazy because
actually I did do one of them. I did do one of the yes, I did do a deck.
Oh wait, this was in that thing. Yeah.
It's
so what
just
happened
this
in that?
Really shitty marker drawing with, and I didn't do this. The skateboard company that I was writing for at the time, which I completely hated them for doing this. They put a bunch of porn. Classified ads behind my drawing. I hand them this drawing and they're like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, that's what I want on my new skateboard. And they're like, okay, here you go. And then it was done and they put this porn classified ads
like a newspaper print, like the back page LA kind of thing.
And they're like, dude, we really, really souped it up, man. Check it out. And it's like, this had nothing to do with porn. Okay.
It's funny. It's weird. It's like
it was done. It was done. I couldn't do anything about it.
So you know that painting that you turned in? Well, we put a dragon on it. We put a dragon on it. No, I don't. I hate dragons.
If they put a dragon on that, on the art that I had, it would have been perfect. That's
what was missing.
You know, just like this shitty, like I used to have this character called Dirt Boy. It was this head of this kid that's dirty. And if there was a dragon body, like a really good, great drawing of a dragon body attached to my shitty head, it would have been great.
That's true. Your shitty, shitty head. I remember like seeing videos of you because it was like as a kid growing up that like was into skating and also starting to get into punk. You were one of the because it was like around that like a lot of skaters started listening to hip hop. I realized right around you and a little after you is when like all the 411 videos and like it's like it was, you know, all these guys just had like Wu-Tang playing underneath
their
stuff.
Well, then they got into shitty hip-hop and
yes,
you know, like I think it started
it's
off
when the pants
okay,
got big and the wheels got small, friends. That was era of skateboarding.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it, like that was the whole thing is like I learned like almost all of my music through, you know, or, you know, the fetal stages of me getting into music was all from like skateboarding videos and magazines and Thrasher covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Adrenaline OD. Like whatever band that was new, that was like a, you know, punk hardcore band, they would cover it. And then it just kind of, you know, started going that way. And
yeah, I think we all of us probably like that. Like just a lot of music, just like getting a skate video and going like, what is this band? And finding out at the end what the band was and then going to pick up that stuff. Or even if it was just a T-shirt was wearing.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time I heard the Minutemen was in like a Nottis Kalpis video or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to get Thrasher, and just being in Santa Cruz, it was...
Or Firehose or something like that.
Yeah. All those bands would come through after I saw them in, like, because it was all kind of the San Francisco scene that they were covering for a lot of that stuff.
Crazy.
Or California scene.
It was weird. If it was ever Rodney Mullen, it would just be like, you know, The Last Poets or some kind of weird off jazz.
One of my favorite video pieces ever was him to Aerosmith's Dream On. He did it was a Plan B video from like the mid 90s.
There's no way they actually licensed those songs, right?
Probably not.
They just
maybe
were
the
like,
later ones.
They had to for the every video that I was involved in, they had to because they always loved it that I had my own music that I wanted. Like I'm like, well, I have this demo of these songs, and it was like really horrible, but they used it.
And it was cheap.
Yeah, they didn't have to pay anything, and I got a lot of people wanted to buy those shitty demo tapes.
Nice.
So, yeah, it worked out for me.
Yeah.
That's
vertical integration in the skateboard video.
But no, but they would charge I heard like Greg Ginn trying to charge them. Because
that's just Greg Ginn, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just the story of Greg Ginn.
Yeah, I remember hearing it, and I might be exaggerating, but it was just like something like $500,000, something crazy. I might be totally fucked my brain.
It's funny. Every once in a while, like I'll listen to Rollins's radio show on KCRW or NPR or wherever they have it, and it's funny that it's like every once in a while he has to bring up Greg Ginn.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you could tell in his voice, this is out on SST.
this is where I get heavy.
Yeah,
heavier than you.
Yeah, and then he's like, I hope they got their money. And so he's always talking about how
digs.
That's
just digs on Greg Ginn. I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing, right? SST is Greg Ginn.
Yeah.
And then he just never paid anybody from Black Flag or Circle Jerks.
Is that
or...
Greg Ginn going to the Elevator of Hell? Yeah, I mean, a lot of bands have taken records. A lot of bands also have, like, you know, this crazy respect because he just took a chance on them back in the day. And, I personally know some of those people, and they, you know, it's like, there's like a weird fine line with it.
I can't imagine. It's just you run a record label, and you know that I'm sure every once in a while it's like, you know, it's like the producers where, you see a way to like kind of I could just tell them you only sold this many. Like I could easily just make more money.
Yeah. Well, I like sleeping, you know.
You do.
I'm not in a good mood when I can't sleep over some shitty reason, and that would, you know, just – doing that I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
And there's ways, like when you press up a record, you tell them how much you pressed. I mean, you could call the pressing plant too if you want to get
exactly
fucking Columbo on it. But
it's funny. I was talking with the dudes from Fiddler, and he was like a friend of ours from Hawaii because the singer grew up in Hawaii, so we know him. And he was it's like my friend was trying to get one of the test pressing from one of the 7 inches. He's like, hey, can I buy that off of you? He's like, no, I'm going to wait 5 years and then sell it on eBay.
You're going to do.
Yeah.
That's how labels make money nowadays.
It's like putting test old pressings. Stuff. Yeah.
They lose it on the pressing and then the test pressing. There it is.
That sells the record.
It's insane because pretty much you've been friends with, like for a long time, you were friends with pretty much every band you put out, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like it.
Yeah, it's kind of foreign to put out somebody that you don't know, you know, like I have before and then got to know the people and they're great, but it's rare. It's probably 99.9% of the times I know the people, they're good people and I like their band a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I feel sketchy if I just, you know, if someone just emails me something or especially back in the day, they would just send a tape or a, you know, something and it's like, who are they? What if they're psychos? Like, what if we sign them and they fucking murder a bunch of kittens?
Exactly.
That's on my watch.
Yeah, then you send those records to Sweden and Norway and you make a fucking killing.
Oh, man.
See?
Where were you?
I know, all that time. Well, not only running a record label, you also were in some of my favorite bands, and still to this day. But one that meant a whole lot to me when I was in Hawaii was the band FYP. Now I'm going to play an FYP song. We're going to take a break and listen to this. This probably for you.
I can't wait.
I know you can. So this is probably like a 20-year-old song for you, I believe.
Could be.
And it's the one that it's the one song. I know everybody likes it, but it's like the one song. Even if like the person's not like never really got into FYP, they know and like this song. Toss My Cookies.
Oh, okay.
Are you okay with that? Me
yeah.
playing that?
Yeah.
No. You want? Yeah. I also have All Grown Up queued up.
No.
Toss My Cookies?
Yeah.
All right. Toss My Cookies by FYP
yeah.
of Dance My Dance. Toss My Cookies by FYP. Todd Congelier joins us in the studio. I do want to it's funny because you were saying, like, you know, people just sending you stuff when you were you know, had the record label, or you still have it, like people just send you tapes. Because of this podcast, we've been getting sent a ton of stuff, you know, large
PDKs?
Portion.
Oh, EPKs.
EPKs. I've received a couple. When I get an EPK or a bio sheet, I tend to not, like, bother.
Yeah.
It's usually – it's like a nice email with, like, just like, hey, here's a song. And they'll usually attach a song or a link to the Bandcamp. I like okay, too. But I like it when they say, here's a specific song I want you to hear. But it's also – clearly, we got on some kind of list. Because there's some people – that are just like sending it, like who are like, you know, the self promoters.
Oh,
and one such in particular was this guy. His name is Cocky Streets. Cocky Streets
with a Z at the end.
With a Z at the end.
TZ.
It sounds like two Z's though. The way you're saying it.
Streets.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're asking yourself right now, who is Cocky Streets, Mr. .365? Cocky is an artist, promoter. Sponsor of his own hip-hop/rap music.
He's his own sponsor?
Yes, he's his own sponsor. Cocky is not your average local artist. He already have the look that attract the female and make the males want to follow him. Cocky comes with his own street team. His new mixtape, Guaranteed, is in every store and club in the NC region. Cocky only spit his life and truthfulness. That's why the fans relate to him so much. His 6'4 height in long dreads and powerful voice make his shows sold out.
Oh.
He also throw a lot of parties in NC and SC. Cocky started with a few dollars and a dream, and less than a year became the hottest hip-hop artist in the streets, including fan custom logo t-shirts and posters and mixtapes in every location in NC region. Cocky goal is not a lot of artists from NC are represented as lyricists, but thank God for Cocky Streets. He here to prove that there is one to prove it. He here to prove that there is one to prove it. If he sells out everything that's affiliated with him now as an independent artist, then he will be global with the right company backing him. Cocky has shows at small clubs and concerts everywhere. He travels from state to state and city from city. planning a huge mixtape release party that's already you know what, for the rest of this I'm going to play a Cocky Street song.
Cocky Street. Never put your eggs in one basket.
Future plan is for Cocky and his street team, Revenue 365, is to hold up their name and go hard 365 days a year. And become the voice of the streets to motivate the guys and females that's going in the wrong direction as Cocky was in the past. Show them that dreams do come true.
It's all about their money. Everything that I do, it be all about their money. My right pinky.
But why wait for that when you can go hard and it pays off and pray to God and have faith? Cocky lyrics flow and instrumentals are the best. He produces and writes his own music. So let's all get rich. Let's all get rich. And for those ones that are already rich, let's get richer and change a lot of people's lives.
I like how he went to his cousin, who obviously writes spam emails from Nigeria, to his PR coverage.
And that actually worked.
Yeah, that was being played. All that earnestness you turned into your Jonah radio submission does not work.
Yeah. Oy, boy.
If you'd like your hard work mocked on the podcast...
You know what?
That letter was nobody's hard work. Nobody put any effort into that.
Neil. That's like I saw you getting a little like bummed out that we're just making fun of this guy. Do you think this guy listens to it? No. Someone's like, yo, someone's playing some tunes on the internet. Internet, I'm all about it. And then he sends it in.
All right.
Cocky Streets be all about it.
What if he just walked in right now?
Cocky Streets is here with us today.
Don't do a black cent, Cash.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Let's get racist. You know what? Let's get into some music news. Oh, you are not the best around. No. Let's get into some music news. All right.
There we go.
Now this is hip hop. All right. Okay, here. This week at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., the three surviving members of Led Zeppelin were honored.
I thought that was the... Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
That was Bonham.
That's good. That's right, yeah.
Jason Bonham.
I was at a party once. I got stuck at a party in somewhere in, like, Hollywood Hills, and then I didn't know how to get home, and I was drunk and just trying to come down off of drugs. And...
You ran with the torch home?
No, I didn't.
That's so great.
When the guy whose name the show is based off of is telling a story about when he saw Zoe Bonham, John Bonham's daughter, put on her dad's records and start crying, maybe don't fucking try and fuck up the story, Neil.
Do tell.
No, I tried. I tried to tell.
Is that for real?
That's a real story that Neil fucked up.
Well, tell me when we're off air. Then.
Yeah, I'll tell you the rest of it.
All right. Why share?
Hold on.
That?
I'm going to do some more.
That?
I'm going to do some more setups, and then Neil will just fuck him up with the samples.
Okay.
God, I spent $20 on that app, and you're just making it worse. You fucking son of a bitch. This week at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., the three surviving members of Led Zeppelin were honored for their contributions to popular music. Next week, they'll head to Seattle, where they'll be honored for their contributions to raping groupies with fish.
Yay!
Hey, see? There it is. In her acceptance speech for Billboard's Woman of the Year Award, pop singer Katy Perry announced she is not a feminist. The announcement startled the feminist community, most of whom assumed Perry's tits that shoot fireworks were an homage to Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem?
Steinem. Steinem?
Steinem.
Steinem.
Mm.
Steinheim was the steamroller.
And so is you. So are you. Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi will resurrect the Blues Brothers this week to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the House of Blues. Cash, can you take that away from him? Can you just take it away from him?
Okay, all right.
Sober Neil Mahoney, no good.
Quick, Neil, drink a beer.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
All right. Now, here's what we got. A video of rapper DMX singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed.
I was fixing something.
You weren't fixing anything. In fact, you were doing the opposite of fixing. You're Wreck-It Ralph. You're not Fix-It Felix. You're Wreck-It Ralph. And is it hot in here? It's so fucking... Turn heater. That thing off.
I thought it was a fan.
No. Turn that fan on. Turn the heater off. Turn the fan around. Shit.
Did I do it right?
I don't know if anyone's doing anything right. You gotta, I think you just got to unplug it. Bing. Oh, you fucking...
I love this thing.
Yes. We can tell.
I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
Holy shit.
So, fireworks. Katy Perry?
I don't even know how to get out of this.
We'll find a
Our friends did 10 minutes of work to write these jokes. I'm trying to give the
rest. Have you ever met Katy Perry?
No, I've never met Katy Perry.
Okay.
Have you?
No. I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you here.
No, no. Ah, come on. This was going to lead into something.
Do you like her songs?
No, I do not. Though it did make me teary-eyed when she sang with that girl with autism at the Night of Too Many Stars.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was really good.
If you watch that firework video, it is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Tits out of, fucking...
No, not for tits reasons, because it's like just weird fake fireworks everywhere, and it's just super bizarre.
Really?
I hadn't watched it until like 2 weeks ago. It was like a hit, like, last year or something?
I don't know.
About two, 2 years ago, yeah.
You keep up with pop music there, Tom?
Hey.
You got any split? She doing any splits on your label?
I actually like that song. And I have a weird thing about that song, but I'm not going to say it because it's long-winded. But
let's it's okay. Split. I don't have the soundboard anymore. It got taken away from me.
Well, I was hoping you would save me and go boing, boing, boing. So I was running down the street with Katy Perry.
And
she was naked. I was fully clothed, but tired.
You fuck with clothes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Why
should I have to worry about it?
Nakedness. What the fuck is that all about?
A video of rapper DMX singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer went viral this week, receiving more than 500,000 hits in its first day online. Let's just hope that the clip's popularity doesn't reignite his feud with MC Burl Ives. You know, last week when you were just like, you were doing rim shots.
I got it taken away from me.
You want to know why? Because I wouldn't have gone through that. So take it away from him. At least you're fucking smart about it.
Okay.
But that, it's always a winner.
Does it even work when you mash your fist against it, Cash?
we take a look at the drill.
But this is that DMX.
I know the lyrics.
He could sing anything, and I'd love it. And he provides his own beat.
And dancer and prancer and vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Put off the red nose reindeer. Had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on, Rudolph, with your nose so bright.
You gotta have kids, right?
Won't you ride my sleigh tonight?
Well, he is a kid.
I believe he has a
lot. Well, no, they don't let kids in the FBI show.
Rudolph, red-nosed reindeer, you go down to history forever. You go down to history
forever.
You go down to history. What?
I think every Christmas song should now end with what?
I had a friend who was thoroughly convinced that you could make any movie trailer 100 times better if you recut it to X Gonna Give It to You. And he did it with like 4 different trailers. He did it with The Godfather, he did it with Goodfellas, he did it with Bruce Almighty, and he did I can't remember the other ones he did, but they're fantastic.
That sounds great. Yeah. we're gonna break for a song to get our wits about ourselves. We're gonna play a song from Todd's current one of his current bands, one of the 4 current bands you're in. Toys That Kill, which was a band that I saw live in a house more than any other venue in my life. down in San Pedro. And the music video for this, I am in it for a split second with somebody on my back.
The monkey?
No. Oh. It's some girl that Tony was dating. She was just on my back.
Brittany?
Sandra.
Sandra. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She was on my
back. Sandra Huxtable?
Nope. But listen to the song. It's one of my favorite Toys I Kill songs. The song's called Little Bit Stranger off the Citizen Abortion. That was A Little Bit Stranger by Toys That Kill. Great song. Great song, great album.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call back to what they won't hear. So that album came out right when I moved to California, to Los Angeles, and ended up living in San Pedro, California, which is where you are.
Yeah.
And I came in – I went on tour with a band. My band Quarterhead went on tour, and we played with the Civic Minded Five and the Blacks for probably like 5 dates. So I met a lot of Raul, who was a drummer with FYP for a bit. He drammed with FYP.
Yeah,
he drummered.
Yeah,
but he was playing with the Civic Minded Five, and so I got to meet them. And then the Jagoffs, which were a Recess Records band from San Pedro, came to Hawaii, and then the singer. Took my virginity, and then
really,
yeah. took my virginity and
tell us about it. How did it happen?
She came over to my. I showed them around everybody, and then
strip it and dip it.
Fuck you! Back on top.
That was perfect.
And then she called saying like, hey, we're at this party in the North Shore, but it's boring. And I was like, well, you can come over here. I got work early, but no big deal. And then she just showed up.
Yeah.
And then it was just awkward conversation. And I was like, well, I'm going to bed. And then
she took that as, I know what that means.
Well, no. She's like, okay.
Okay, I'm not going to guess anymore. Keep telling.
She's like, okay. And then, I set up her bed on the couch, you know, and then I went in and she's like, oh, the stereo's on. I was like, well, okay, I'll turn the stereo. And then she came back in. She's like, oh, the air conditioning's on. It's too cold. I go, holy shit. Like, it's like, I don't understand why you're here.
These are all metaphors.
Yeah. it's not hot enough in here. She comes and she's like, and I had like a futon, but I was sleeping on the couch because I hated the futon. I had a bar in the middle of it that upset me. And she's like, why don't you sleep on the futon? I was like, it's uncomfortable. She's like, it doesn't look uncomfortable. And then I started doing that, like the dumb guy, like, here, I'll show you. And I got on the bed. I'm like, see, it's not, see if you just, I think literally as we started to do stuff, this was said, what are we doing?
Wait, did you both say it in unison?
Yeah, what are we doing? What is this? What's happening?
It's called sex. Try it out.
Yeah, and Adam was actually in the room next door.
Oh, okay.
And the door was open, and so if he came out, he would have saw his little brother losing his virginity.
What would you have said?
You are a Bing man. Shit. So anyway, yeah. So then, like, and then I ended up just moving to California, and then a room opened up on 4th Street in San Pedro, and I moved in with Dan Destructo, and then I became a part of that community. But as your friend Jack, who was also a tall, funny guy, did not want me around.
For you know that for a fact, Jack.
I'm not making it up, Gup.
That's cool, Jules.
But it was interesting, like moving there, and you know, I had I known Recess Records and FYP. Me and my friends were in a band in Hawaii that desperately wanted to be on Recess Records, and we like you know just so I was there, and I was meeting everybody all at once, and it was a lot of fun. But everyone kind of like looked at me as the kid that moved there to try and get more action from this girl.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh. I was like, no, I just like, I don't have any friends. I don't have any friends in LA. I don't know where to go.
Now the Jack thing's starting to make more sense.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's the, yeah. And the town's not big enough for two comedians either.
No. He was already, I think he was taking improv classes at Iowa West. And so we had like stuff to talk about because I was really interested in doing comedy. And it was before I even started.
And you played video games too, Double Threat.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. But Triple I was like, I was just playing. I was playing Super Nintendo. Everyone else had nicer video game consoles.
Yeah.
But like you know, Tony down there from the Jagoffs and Killer Dreamer, he kind of embraced me, and it was very nice. And Sean Cole, who's been playing with music for you for a long time, was also one of the first guys to kind of really be nice to me and hang out.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. It's a great, it was an amazing community. It was crazy to me. I was like, cause like I was 19 and I, you know, 19, 20 when I was living down there, and it was like, it was my whole world. But thing is, it's like, there's a big group of the people down there that in San Pedro, it's Los Angeles, but it's just this own little pocket, and you could easily just, you know, you could just be hanging out, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, it's been 3 years. Like, it's like you can easily, because it's so nice and easy and cheap and fun, and everyone's great down there. It has like kind of a Midwest vibe to it, where everyone's like really good at telling stories and talking and hanging out and drinking.
Really good at it.
But yeah, people don't leave too much either, and that's probably a big reason why. But
yeah. And actually the reason like I even started getting up to L.A. was because of like doing comedy, but also you know, South Bay guys like the Rolling Blackouts and Dios Malos. Like those guys started hanging out up in Hollywood and stuff like that. And that's how I ended up like moving up here and having them stay with me all the time.
It's like the Jeffersons.
Yes.
Wheezy and George are the same thing.
I remember like the only times I would ever go to Hollywood before that was with like when Dan Destructo found like, he's like, there's a pool in Silver Lake that's empty. And he, like, I would just be sitting on the couch watching Hawaii Five-0 reruns. He would just be like, do you want to come? I'd be like,
watching Hawaii Five-0 reruns.
It's weird watching Hawaii Five-0 because you're like, I recognize that, but only like 20 years after that was shot. but yeah, so it's crazy because that, in a sense, that whole scene revolved around Recess Records.
I mean
you had the store for a time, and the record store, and the label. So it's like, you know, there's all these people, and it's like, you know, all these people orbiting around, you know, this pretty much you and like what you started,
I guess.
Well, how did you make the switch? Because you were a skater, and then you were in bands, and then you started your own label?
Yeah, I actually started the label when I was still skating professionally. So it was kind of – I started it because I was making money, and I was still living with my parents. And I was like, what do I do with this money besides buy bullshit? And I was like, I want to put a 7-inch out. I want a piece of vinyl, and – I thought I was going to have boxes to make furniture with, like when I was 6 years old. And it kind of snowballed into a label. I was still kind of doing both at, you know, it kind of overlapped at one point. But the thing that was a big turning point for me was my parents got their house taken away, which also had my ramp, like, you know, by the bank. The bank just wanted my ramp, you know. But I didn't have anywhere to skate after that. And
you were a vert guy, more so than
so
street.
I couldn't just go street skate. It wasn't my thing.
And this was around the time that there was the big change, right, where street skating became a bit more popular.
Yeah. I was becoming a dinosaur in the skate world for sure. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those guys had trouble. I mean, most famously, like Gator.
Yeah. Well, that's another sort of trouble.
I thought you were talking about
this guy got caught smoking pot.
No. Well, like, you know, Mark Gator Rogowski, who was an amazing vert ramp skater, who like couldn't handle the drop off of fame and popularity. I mean, at least that's what it seemed like.
He was a superstar of skating. So, yeah. I mean, I would easily go, what a fucking pussy. Why did he have to do that? You know, like, why don't you just be in a shitty punk band like I did?
Yeah. And Dwayne Peters did the same thing. You know,
it's one of those things where I was kind of uncomfortable with any sort of skate fame. I just thought it was weird that people asked for autographs and stuff like that. And so I was never like, you know, I was never cemented into it to where I was like, if I can't live without this, I'm going to go rape and murder a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much
in a surfboard bag, you know?
Like, yeah. So, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, you could watch the movie Stoked, The Rise and Fall of Gator, which is about, Mark Gator Rogowski, who was, you know, a huge skater. And he's like, it was him, Tony Hawk, and Christian Hosoi. Like, these guys are just monoliths in the skating world.
Yeah,
and he was an amazing vert ramp skater, but couldn't make the transition to street skating like a lot of guys. And then he went crazy and kind of like started getting really into Christianity and then raped and murdered his girlfriend's friend.
Yeah.
And then put her in a surfboard bag and then buried her in the desert and then confessed 3 days later.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now there is a rumor that I've heard that you called him and left a message on his answering machine between that time.
Yeah.
This is true. And what was the message?
Judging by body position, this is 100% true.
What is the message?
Hey, where's my surfing bag?
Dude, come on, bro. No, we used to go, me and Jeremy Klein used to go down to San Diego a lot. That was another pro skater back in the day.
Jason Lee, also part of the same scene. You were
team. But me and Jeremy were really close. We used to just every weekend we'd go down to San Diego and skate, and we ended up at Tony Hawk's ramp, and Gator's there. He was supposed to ride for Liberty, which is the company that I rode for, which Mike Smith owned and operated. And he was always trying to get a new skater, and because me and him were the only ones, he wasn't really on the, you know, the forefront of it anymore. Yeah. He kind of wanted just to like get skaters, and one of them was Gator, and so I just asked him, like, hey, so what's up with Liberty? You're not going to ride for us? And who are you riding for now? And he's like, Jesus. And I was like, is that some new skate company? And
they later reformed and became the Firm.
I was kind of serious. I was like, yeah, you know, everybody's coming out with these skate companies.
Yeah, that
nowadays.
Was at the era of, like, every 3 weeks, there's like 9 more full page ads in the back of Trans World.
Yeah.
Is that a wheel or a team? And
there was even like, there was a company that were just the bearings.
Shorties?
Was it Shorties?
Shorties was just bearings, but they were part of what? They were part
Shorties
of
was the name CCA. Of the bearings. I remember just seeing a thing that was just the bearings per wheel.
Yeah.
And they were just like advertising it with guys. And, you know, fucking.
Because you needed those tiny bearings for those tiny wheels.
The tiniest wheels. Remember how small the wheels got?
They were really small.
Rubber bands around bearings.
Yeah, they turned into bearings themselves. Yeah, but he was there and, you know, I said that and he got all offended and kind of chewed me out a little bit. Just said.
For like getting on his case about being a Christian?
Well, no, I just said, all I said was, is that some new skate company? And he just thought I was like 100%, you know, pulling his ass or whatever you call it. And
to be fair to you, Jesus would be like, that's totally within that line of skateboard company names.
I was kind of making fun of him, too.
Yeah. It's a good joke, Tom.
You know? Yeah. I know. But see?
While we're talking about a murderer.
No, you were talking about a good joke. Delivered to a murderer.
I meant we're making all these jokes like when we're talking about a horrible crime.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happened.
I just ignored it and we went back to our friend Haji's house we'd go back there and just eat candy and crank call people. Like, that's just par for the course. We did that every time. Every night we wouldn't go out drinking. We would go and eat candy and crank call people. And when you still could crank call people. So we're like, who's the first on our list? Of course it's Gator. So we call him and his outgoing message said something really cryptic. Like, God bless. I won't be seeing y'all anymore, but praise the Lord. Goodbye. And it was like, what the fuck? Whatever. Let's just proceed. And beep. And we're like,
hey, Gator, we know what you did.
Oh, my God. Oh. Something like that. Where no, this was before we knew shit. So.
But this did happen. You did find out.
As I recall, this was like probably a Saturday night. Monday afternoon, I go and pick up my girlfriend from high school. I was young back then. Nothing crazy.
No, don't say it is.
Yeah. And as I'm picking her up, her friend comes up and says, "Did you hear about that skater?"
And you hit the gas and took off.
And I find out. I go and check out the news, and I completely freaked out. I was like actually scared. Like I thought we had something to do with it.
Like
or
even
maybe,
like you like prompted him to do it, or maybe you would get in trouble thinking that they might think you're a part of it.
Something. There was this total chaos. I was like calling Jeremy up, going, "What the fuck, dude?" Like. And it was basically he did. I don't even think he ever got that message. I mean, as far as I know, like
he had his hands full.
He went somewhere that day, and supposedly he was going to commit suicide. And his friend talked him out of it, and he turned himself in.
Jesus.
So that was crazy. And then the hard copy thing comes on. You know, remember that show Hard Copy
and A Current Affair.
That's where I learned about it because I watched Hard Copy and what was the one that Bill O'Reilly hosted?
Current Affair. Yeah.
Well, no, that was the other guy. There's three. Current Affair was on Fox. The other two were syndicated.
Anyway, they all had the same.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure it was Hard Copy. It might have been one of the other ones, but it was basically a story of a successful man on the skateboard. He had the women, the fame, the money, and then one day, and then it shows a picture of a video clip that Spike Jonze filmed of me. Of me bailing off my ramp with the same color helmet that Gator used to wear, which was a fluorescent green. Like, it was showing clips of him skating, clips of him talking, clips of him, like, making out with chicks, you know, like, getting the golden goose and everything. And then it shows me bailing as the intro for
this. As this horrible skater bailed on this trick, Gator bailed on life.
Another skater,
and that was your indication to get out of the skateboard industry and the music industry.
No, that's when I like
much less tragedy.
Like I gotta get mine.
Well, it's crazy. The same,
no, that was like the downfall, I think.
And well, then and around the same time is when I think it's like within a few years span is when Christian Hosoi, I think the documentary on him is Jesus' Son.
I don't know.
Or Hawaii Sun.
It's not
Rising
yeah,
Sun.
Rising Sun.
And it's all about Christian Hosoi, who ended up like trying to smuggle crack and like to
crank.
Or from Hawaii.
Crank.
Was it meth?
Crank, meth.
It was meth. Well, yeah.
Hawaii. Ice, brah.
Brah. Batu, eh? His dad, who was also an inmate in Hawaii. but yeah, so he went to prison as well. And it's a similar story. Like a guy that just couldn't go the other way, couldn't like, and I've seen you do street skating, like, you know, you did, you know, like you could deal with the board slides and the grinds.
I mean, I did it a lot just because, you know, my best friend at the time, he was a street skater, so I would have to like
split the
compromise.
Time between the
he didn't skate vert, so it was just one of those things where he'd come over and hang out and watch, and then we'd go street skating just to hang out. But I hated it. I had no fun street skating
really
ever. Like, well, I mean, it's funner than working at McDonald's or something, you know, but I just did it just to have fun, hang out, you know, nothing. I just never enjoyed it as much, you know, so.
It's very different in the sense that you do like one or two tricks instead of on a vert ramp, you're doing lines of tricks and doing like setting up for stuff and you kind of can go as long as you can stay on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I just love transition.
Like, okay. Here's a staircase. I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to end up at the bottom and then I'll come back up to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was,
or if you don't get chased out.
That was crazy. When I started really just, cause I, you know, was skating and then I broke my Christian Hosoi fish deck. And then, cause I was just gaining so much weight. and I, you know, I didn't skate for, and then that's really around the time I got into playing drums. I got into like, you know, really like watching every comedy movie ever made kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Science Theater was all, you know, I just, my attention went elsewhere into music and stuff like that. And then when I like, started hanging out with skaters again, you know, it was, you know, the skinny wheel hip hop kids, pretty much.
Right.
And they were all gorgeous. Cause if you're skating every day in Hawaii, you're fucking ripped. Cause all you're doing is just like, it's like, you know, Bikram yoga. You know, you're just like, sweating and looking
and
good.
Tan.
Yeah.
And,
And
Chachi. Everybody looks like
Chachi. Yeah, exactly. They all look like Chachi. Chachi, the bass player for Toys That Kill.
Or the dude from Happy Days.
Yes. Yeah. But
both fine looking.
They were all they all looked great, and I was hanging out with them a lot. And then I remember, like, because, you know, it was all, like, you know, I think, like, you know, little, like, camcorders were just like cheap, so they was always just hanging out with them. They would go, the little hi-8 tapes, and they would just go to one staircase, and just it would just be them trying to jump it or grind down the rail.
I always hated stairs. Like, that was my thing. I was always thought I was gonna roll my ankle because I mean, I
rolled my face a lot.
Yeah. That or, you know, rack your nuts on the bar or whatever that shit is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like that was never fun because we would just go to the session and everybody would try 100,000 things and no one would pull anything off. And
it was the bail to land ratio is usually like 1 to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that's what they had. They had so much footage of that. That's when they were like, well, just put it on at the end.
Yeah. Those are still crazy. I can't watch. Fucking bail tapes, like they.
Yeah. Well, then bail tapes became everything. Like the CKY guys, you know, like Bam and all those guys, just like the horrible things, and then they just like kind of like picked up from there. It was like, well, people love seeing people get hurt.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. And
that's weird. I hate it. Like,
you know it too well.
Skate.
You know it too well.
Yeah. It's just, I mean.
And so you knew Spike Jones, because he was around filming skaters because he had started. Girl then, or was that way before?
No, he was actually taking photos for
Big Brother.
No, what's that magazine? It was a BMX magazine.
I think it's called Rad.
That was the movie.
There's with editor in chief Crew Jones
called Rad in Germany. I think it was a Homeboy Club.
Oh, Homeboy? yeah. That sounds familiar.
Well, he started with that in Power Edge, and Power Edge was kind of like a big magazine back then. Like it was kind of like the lower of the three, the big three, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure. Yeah. He took photos for Power, but he basically just took photos and shot a lot of video. He helped me make the skate video that I made. And like, you know, that was like, I got him started with directing and everything.
So all you hipsters, if you really liked Where the Wild Things Are, well,
Liberty Horror, look it up.
Yes, I remember Liberty Horror.
Yeah, horror, not horror.
Yeah, sorry. Liberty Horror. You Liberty. Hey, we're Liberty Horrors.
I just saw a trailer for the new Girl Chocolate film.
Those are always like the most insane. It's like every time they put out a new video, you're like, wow, they really put a lot of money in this skate video.
Fucking beautiful.
Yeah. They comped out the skateboard?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I haven't seen skate videos in a long time.
They like with those all the girl ones are the ones to check out because it's like, you know, Spike Jones like, you know, putting like a filmmaker's quality on it.
Oh yeah.
And so it's a lot of stunt kind of neat filmmaking things and really good skating.
Creative stuff.
Yeah. But on top of really good, because like they got some really good skaters.
Yeah. And he didn't direct this new one. He got another guy to direct it, but the other guy was like, okay, I got to step.
Yeah.
This. So like everything's like slow tracking shots and just slow motion, like beautiful.
He did one called Yeah Right where it they had a chroma key green skateboard.
Skateboards and they had chroma key kickers too. So it was like these guys were just like zooming along.
Then all of a sudden the ramp was comped out too.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they're just like,
pew! So you just see guys floating. And then they're like, and the behind the scenes video is just as interesting because they're like going through the like forest. And then like they also like comped out, like they put like boards underneath leaves. So it just looks like this guy's just like hovering around. It's just insane. Wow. So when you were skating, you started playing FYP, which was like pretty like hard edged at the time. It was pretty like hardcore, thrashy, pop punk kind of stuff. You know,
that's a great way to. That's a compliment.
Yes, it was great, but
it's really god awful if you listen to it now, like, or even back then. I think like,
but
I
there was a kid named Mark McCoy in Chicago that really liked your music and your skating, and got very upset when you quit skateboarding, and then he went on to make a song about it in his band Charles Bronson.
He always denied that. Are you kidding? I asked him about it, and because.
Hold on. Okay. He's denied. He didn't hold. Before you say how he denied it.
He denied it. I might have an email. Well, I still don't have.
Okay, here's here's the insert.
I'm on the insert.
Yeah, so. Here's the insert from their part of this compilation called
you just
"Possessed
happen
Escape."
To have that right
yeah, there? I just because okay. I was listening to it the other day, and it's a picture of Todd in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shirt skating.
You didn't have to. Say
I'll
that
agree.
Part.
What?
You didn't have to talk about that part.
No, that was cool. That's what people
like. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shirt. You got an SSD control sticker on the old helmet there. And the old helmet there. And there's a song on it called I'm So Smart Now, which sounds like it could easily be the title to an early FYP song.
Are you going to play the song?
I'm going to play
the
song.
Lyrics?
I can do both.
All right.
Here's the lyrics. I wish I thought a lot less like I used to, like back when I converted my bedroom walls into a shrine for you. Now, he's saying he's
wow.
denying this. Before we get to that, there's a picture of Todd in the insert. Walls, posters, shrine, denied. Keep going. Everything because everything would be okay and then I never see what you saw as a phase because I never wanted to rekindle my high school angst days. I've got a stack of yearbooks to prove I just wanted to get that shit out of the way. It took 5 years, five-year plan. And he's denying it. I'm sorry. Maybe we can pull up that email.
Hey, you got to state your case before you do your closing argument.
And then he pretty much just says that it all boils down to that this guy, Mark McCoy, can't handle the fact that you stopped skating and then you got into pop punk.
Oh, is that what it was? Pop punk?
Well, it's it took 5 years to see what you're made of, but now I know I fucking passed you up and it's something I never would have got out of staring at the walls. So now I can return to the fucking mall and surrender to my friends and say you were right with my head hanging high, not low, because I'm the one who still fucking skates and role models only come and go.
Wow.
And this is hurting my feelings because I don't think I ever read the lyrics. somebody said that he
and here's the thing. I like Charles Bronson
me.
A lot. I think Charles Bronson was a great, like, it's like, you know, it was the fastest and most coherent way people could have taken hardcore.
I liked them too.
Yeah, they were great. they're fucking the prank phone calls they would do to Victory Records, that shitty hardcore label in Chicago. Hilarious. And then I remember, like, when I got this comp and I remember being like, what's his... Because that's what it felt like to me. Like, what's this fucking deal? Here's the song. We got the song right here. I'm So Smart Now by Charles Bronson. All right, so that's the song. That's the song.
Wait, he didn't say, at least I still fucking skate in that?
That's a fucking song!
You know, I listened, I had that record, and I listened to it, and when I first got it, I was like, oh, cool, like, awesome.
Yeah.
This guy writes me all the time. This is a good tribute, or a compliment or something.
And
I'm flattered.
You can't deny that it must be about you. This is that gotcha journalism John Ray is known for.
Yeah.
And I don't
hard
need to make
copy.
You feel weird.
Was
you shouldn't feel
copy?
Weird because
making me
somebody
feel weird.
In the band, like trust me, I didn't even think anything of it when I first got that. And
really?
Then somebody in the band, or somebody very close to the band, said, are you mad at Mark? I'm like, why? And because that song. And I was like, oh. So I just emailed him because he was like writing stuff. I'm like, hey, was that about me? What did I do to you? And he's like, dude, no.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I dig it. I love it.
Yeah.
We want more of it.
Want more of it. More of your skating and your old records. Oh God, you're right.
What year did that come out?
I think this came out in 98. The Possessed Escape compilation is what we're talking about. It's a great compilation. It's got Charles Bronson, Spaz from San Francisco, Asshole Parade, Pretentious Assholes, Despise You, Plaktka. I remember they were really good too. But yeah, it was and it was all the songs had to be about skateboarding. And also it just they even cover a Steve Caballero song.
Oh, really?
That he made
a
for like a
song?
Video.
The depths that they could do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, no, but like, and then Spaz, but also Spaz, they had their issues with Charles Bronson. And
that was right about, you know, maybe a year or two after I got crucified by a lot of the hardcore kids.
Oh, really?
Right when we did our album, the FYP album, Toilet Kids Bread, it was pretty heavy. Like, I never thought I would ever get letters like the ones we got back then.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, basically death threats. And it
really?
Was, and it was, back then we didn't have email. I mean, the world probably had it. I'm not talking about we as the world. I'm talking about me and
the government probably had it.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't use email. We just still, it was all snail mail, and people bought records through the mail.
Yeah.
And
it's the thing, and you're getting
off.
And you're getting hate mail.
The first week that record came out, I got 8 letters of, well, there was 2 that were basically saying that if they ever see me on the street or somewhere, they're going to kill me.
Holy shit.
That's some quick turnaround for snail mail.
Yeah,
really first quick. Week.
And here's the thing, it's like, well, you know how we like no when we talk about Sunday. Like bad comments on the internet where it's like, well, you know, they just hate it and they put a thing. This is effort.
No, long drawn out. One of them we actually posted, it almost looked like this wall, cuz we like somebody wrote this book about how much I fucked up their lives because of this record.
Wow.
Jesus.
And if you listen to it now, it's all so silly. It's like, I had this thought a couple of months ago. I was like, where are all those people now? They probably just think they're the biggest dumbasses. One of them wrote on our web store, you could write comments about a record or write reviews about the record. You know, like, I guess like iTunes does, but yeah. I guess at the end of October, one of the guys that wrote probably the more nasty one wrote this even a bigger spiel on as a review for this record, just basically saying how much, I mean, you might have to pull it up because I can't even believe it's 18, 17 years later and this guy
He's
is still pissed off.
Wow. Like,
current review is 1.
Wow.
Wait.
We were saving this for our podcast, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, shit. This is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot of time to read that. But.
All right. Well, 1 star. I saw FYP play more than 30 times in California in the early 90s. They were truly exceptional at what they did, and no bands that existed at that time could touch them.
That sounds good.
This album was the end.
Oh.
This album was their exit.
Go to the end of the whole thing after he compliments the early hardcore days of FYP.
I even wrote Todd a letter at the time expressing my disappointment in the band. He responded with a letter written on the back of a flyer for the album, among other things, calling me a Jocko Homo. Nice Devo ref.
Well, keep reading.
And
please.
Saying something about guys like me who go to shows looking for fights shouldn't come.
He threatened me. He threatened my life.
Oh.
Right? So.
Out of well over 100 punk shows in my youth, I've been in 2 fights. Both were started by trying to break up a fight that was going on. I guess he didn't get what I was saying at the time. I never played sports either. In any case, at least he called me a homo. Oh my god!
You didn't get the reference.
Wow.
Which I remember respecting at the time. Although this album exists as a matter of public record, defining who the actual homo is. Oh, and then he goes back and he like kind of calls you out. Wait, that's the most. That's like
wrong
he flipped
answer.
It like 3 times there. Call me a homo. Well, this clearly is gay shit.
Like, no, like that's the part that he liked of it. Like whatever I wrote him back, it probably wasn't that long, but it was basically. I said Jocko Homo because it was an evolution thing. I was commenting on evolution.
And yes.
And that maybe translates to bands sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes people don't want to play the same music for their whole lives. I don't know. Like,
yes, exactly.
But that's the only reason why he respected me, because I said, fuck you, homo.
Oh,
that's
geez.
The way he read it.
It's like people going to Fugazi going, maybe this is the show he's going to play some Minor Threat. Maybe this is the one. Maybe then there's that guy still going to Evens shows. Are you going to go see the Evens? Yeah, I bought a ticket. I think this is going to be the time where they play some Minor Threat.
I wouldn't
him
say,
and his wife on the fucking...
That's way too intelligent for this.
Yeah. You know what? Let's listen to Heathen Like Me from that said album, Toilet Kids Bread. How's that?
All right,
let's do that. Heathen Like Me off of Toilet Kids Bread by FYP. You are So, yeah. So, a guy wanted to murder you because of that song. Sounds good to me.
I think is now that I listened, I forgot about that breakdown part. So, it's probably that part.
The part, yeah. And it's the first track
I wanted
on
to murder
album.
Myself right now for trying to pull that off back then.
So, there's another thing. There's a show, a kind of a historical show that happened a long time ago. What year?
It's a historic show, not a historical
show. And historical show.
Historic.
It was a historic show?
Yeah.
It was
it's hysterical.
It was hysterical. It was historically hysterical.
Yes.
If it was historic, it made history. If it's historical, it was about history.
But who's stork? Her stork?
Her
story. Yay!
Thank you,
guys. So, that's right. I thought I was.
So there's a show. This is a show that happened a long time ago. It was Voodoo Glow Skulls, FYP, the band Hickey, and then the band Schlong. I believe was the band's on this bill.
Yeah.
And Schlong had Dave Mello, drummer from Operation Ivy. It was his band at the time. Great band.
Awesome.
If you've ever wanted to hear Fleetwood Mac's Rumors done within the amount of time it takes to have on a 7-inch, go check out their. And also on top of that, they did an entire cover album of West Side Story called Punk Side Story.
That one's.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably their biggest release, I think.
And they did, and it was like 17 minutes long.
Yes, yes, still, yeah, they truncated it. And then Hickey, who were this amazing band from San Francisco or somewhere in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, they're from San Francisco.
Yeah, and they're just amazing, like a band that, like, one of those bands that shoulda, I like to say, you know, they like it seems like they more people should know who they are.
I think
it's pretty concentrated
in California now. People are re-releasing all their records. Like I know, 1, 2, 3, 4 Go just did a total discography double album, and I mean, there's people all over the place that love them now that probably, they're probably 18 right now.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
that's crazy.
Definitely a band that stands the test of time for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember it always seemed like I would talk about them, but it was always very specific to California. And,
yeah.
And plus, it was a band that had like troubles with drugs, and so like they kind of, they got in the way of themselves.
Yeah.
And which is always a shame. Yeah.
Especially for Maddie, like that.
Yeah, and even like I talked about it on a previous show about Chad from the Blacks. It was like the Blacks were just this amazing band, and they would have just kept on putting out better and better records if something didn't happen and break.
Yeah.
Something broke and then it just, went bad. But that aside, this show, Hickey decided to steal.
Well,
how'd it go down?
Well, we got asked by Voodoo Glow Skulls to do this tour where it was really at the time, I mean, we still do this to this day, but they asked us to start in New Orleans. And I mean, we could have toured on the way out there, but we were just so dumb. We probably still are because we do this still to this day. But we just drove straight out there, and I mean, basically, we did it because there was two big shows that were going to happen at the Whiskey, and at the time we were doing okay, in Hollywood. I don't know how, I don't know why, but
yeah.
So we just really wanted to do those shows. We're like, we just go out there and do these, and blah, blah, blah. And Hickey needed a show, so they asked us if they could jump on the show in Arizona, and we got them on the show. And I don't even really remember what they said. It wasn't offensive at all. Like, they were talking shit about people that like Epitaph Records.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, at the time, it's warranted. I mean, it's like there's it's popular, so there's a lot of, it brings a lot of dummies.
That's just what happens in punk, and that's, it's silly. But that's what happens. It's like, I remember around that time in the 90s, it's like if you were on Fad or Epitaph, you were a sellout. It was like, those are still, they might be distributed largely and be popular, but they're not necessarily selling out.
Yeah. I mean, I liked a lot of the bands that were on there. I had no problems with them doing that. And I didn't really think of it as a sellout move. It was just kind of, there's certain bands that bring a bunch of muscleheads and wrestle boys and
Voodoo Glow Skulls is definitely that band.
They were commenting more about that. I mean, I might have like left to get a beer when they said something really offensive, but they got really offended by it and basically told the club that they wouldn't play unless these guys were escorted out.
Oh wow!
And on their way out, They picked up a trumpet.
Not sure if you guys know this. Voodoo Ghost goes, really need their horns. They really need them. They're not a ska band. They're a punk band with horns.
I really didn't even... I was so oblivious to what was going on. I like went up to... I guess he was the guy that got his horn stolen. And was just like, what's up, man? You know, just not knowing... anything was going down, you know, and it already went down. And I didn't know anything. And he's like, yeah, what's up? Want to fight?
Ugh.
Yeah, sure. Like, around, and next thing you know, they kicked us off the tour. And it was like right before the LA shows, and just for getting this band on the show. And it was just like, and ever since then, you see a couple of them here and there, and they throw beers at us. And
jeez, still.
Well, no, not still, but.
Well,
but maybe now, I guess.
Here's the thing. Here's the great cap to that whole experience is that Hickey then released a 7-inch, split 7-inch with the Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Oh.
But not really.
Oh.
On Side A is like two of the best Hickey songs ever. It's like two of my favorite Hickey songs. And on the other side is all the death threat phone messages that were left by guys associated, never necessarily with the Voodoo Ghost Girls, associated with the Voodoo Ghost Girls. And I'm going to play that Hickey song, and then we're going to listen to some of those messages, which are fucking great. And the whole time too, you can hear a trumpet in the background. So. Hold on, so.
Hello. Hey, Hickey. You guys don't sound very punk rock on your fucking answering machine, but you know what? You guys are gonna fucking die. You know, I got your fucking phone number, and you don't need to know who I am, but I'm somebody who's gonna fucking come up, and you're gonna pay your fucking dues. And I'm not fucking around with you. You guys just fucked with the wrong band. My homies, the Voodoo Glow Skulls, and you took their horn, and.
Hold on. And now, Todd, during that song.
No.
You didn't say I couldn't say it. Rumor has it that is the singer of Voodoo Glow Skulls.
I understand you give it back. And you guys are fucking, if you were so punk rock, you wouldn't have given it back. And you guys are a bunch of pieces of shit, and you're going to fucking die. I have a lot of connections, and you just better watch your fucking back, because this time you fucked around with the wrong band. You know, an Epitaph band? You know, the guys that have all the fucking ham, and they get the deli tray and everything, and the tour bus? That band? You guys remember that band, right? Well, I'm sure you've gotten several calls, you know, threatening your life, but this one's not joking around, and you better watch your fucking back.
I'm sure you got a lot of calls threatening your life. This ain't your granddaddy's phone threats, friend. This is something more.
Everywhere let you guys go, there's going to be somebody fucking watching you, and you're going to pay your fucking dues. And if you think I'm kidding, then you're wrong, because it's coming to you, and you better watch out, you fucking stinky motherfuckers. And if you have any money right now, you better invest it in the fucking bar of soap and wash your ass, because, you know, your ass is going to have to be clean when I fucking stick my dick up your ass, you fucking cocksucker.
Now, that's a trip. No, I'm not saying that's that's a trip. That's a long way to get to, like, yeah. You got some money? Will you? It's like a Tommy Boy insult. Yeah. It's like you better save money to invest in a soap company so you can buy the soap, or you're going to get the samples so you can wash your ass. And so when it's clean, and then for me to stick my dick in it.
Sounds like Bill Cosby.
For me to stick my dick in it. So yeah, and this goes on for another 6 minutes. There's so many phone calls and just them going wee wee in the background. So register all complaints to Todd Congelier, care of Recess Records.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we could cut that out if you want.
What? No cutting.
All right, man. It's cool.
I thought this was live.
This is going out live.
Live.
Yeah, it just. That's the one thing that always, and I know it's easy to correlate them, but like just jock attitudes in punk rock and hardcore. I know it's an aggressive form of music, but I never got the aggression in real life, like outside of like you see those guys. Like I went to see Gwar, and I know Gwar is like a metal band, but they're a cartoon metal band. They're a puppet show, and they're amazing. One of the best live shows I've ever seen. But you see guys in the pit. There's a pit, which is impossible to grip when there's fake blood all over the ground. And you see these guys
a funny pit.
It's a funny pit.
Everyone's slipping, and
it's really. And there's like, you know, there's guys in there just looking to punch people. And I remember that growing up and going to shows. It's like, I never got that. I never got the idea of going to a place to get into a fight. Because it always seemed, and that's why I always, you know, veered away from that style of like punk.
Yeah. I mean, the first few shows I ever went to, the music, the actual form of music was way more aggressive than any of that stuff. And I'm not saying the more aggressive the better. I'm just saying that's the style of it. First show I ever went to was 7 Seconds, and you know, people were going apeshit, but everybody was helping each other up.
Yeah.
There was not one fight. I didn't see one fight. Yeah. I didn't see anybody that wanted to fight. And this was like Fenders 1985, like in that when people went to Fenders to fight. Everyone told me don't go there showing up looking like a suey. And I was like, people used to call me suey
like
when
a suicidal?
I was a kid. But I thought it was like pig. Don't show up fat. I was like, too late. I'm going.
Most sueys are normally.
Yeah, they said don't show up looking like a suey or a skin. And I was like, well, I just look like a punk skater, right? And I was like worried. That was like one of the only times where I really worried about what I was wearing, because I thought I was going to get my ass kicked for it. And it was like more positive than some churches out there, probably, you know. There was just there was something about it. And you know,
did you ever get to see, like, did you get to see the Minutemen when?
No, I never did. I wish I did.
When you were around, right? Like, when did D Boone die? 87?
I thought 86, but maybe 87.
Yeah, like if there was ever one band to to personify Pedro.
Yeah, well, I never saw, you know, like that was the thing that really like haunts me to this day, because I would always see Black Flag flyers, and I'm sure the Minutemen were on there. I wasn't into the Minutemen when I was a kid. Neither was I.
And I remember, like, you think you're supposed to. You're like, well, I'm supposed to like this
band.
Yeah,
they tour with Black Flag, and they put them out, and it's like, you know, it's just like I wasn't ready for it, you know.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Now I like kind of kick myself for not, you know, wasted
years.
I get to enjoy it a little bit better than everybody else does.
Yeah, you got to come to it as you come to it, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel that way. I remember, you know, like Lemonheads, like where it's like, I remember like Lemonheads came out as like basically an alternative pop band, like, you know, like to the masses.
Hate Your Friends. After Hate Your Friends.
Shame About Ray.
Oh yeah.
And I remember just being like what? Like, why do? And I saw him on like SST, like, you know, when you're going through the thing, you're like, no, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's the another one of those downsides of punk, is that it gives you this chip on your shoulder mm-hmm. that you're just gonna be like, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the way this should.
But that was the whole good thing about, you know, the, like, especially SST. It was so eclectic. Like, there was nothing really sounded alike. There wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't even like Minor Threat and Void. It wasn't even that close.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. you know, Dinosaur Jr. Here comes Dinosaur Jr. And I dug it all. And that was like the whole thing is like, I'd always see Black Flag flyers we pasted around my neighborhood. And I remember one day I was driving with my parents to go to McDonald's or some fast food joint on Cali Mayor and PCH. And there was a Black Flag flyer, and I could have sworn the Minutemen were in there too. And I was like, I'm going to go to that show. Okay. And we were at the stoplight and the flyers we pasted right there on the sign. And my mom said, no, you're not. And it was like, I think I was too hungry to argue, but I just let it down. And
then only if they knew like how like positive an experience it would have
been
for you.
When I did go to my first show, I finally just said, fuck it, I'm going. And that whole positive experience happened. I came back and I sat on my mom's bed and bragged to her about how it was, and she still didn't believe me, you know?
I did the same thing. I came back from a show and they were so worried, and I said, like, it was amazing. It was beautiful. Like, yeah, you know.
I mean, to me, it was just an epiphany. It was like, and I wanted to share it with my mom. She was just nervous, and she was like, I just hope you don't make a habit of this, yeah. you know, like, and then, you know, she realized
20 years later.
Yeah.
Look at me now, mom.
Well, like, you know, like Neil was saying recently, where his mom like confiscated like a Minor Threat CD and then read the lyric sheet. And was like, oh, no, you can have
the here, please. Yeah.
Tape, by the way.
Tape. Yeah. Sorry. The tape.
There's some of those straight edge bands that, I mean, post Minor Threat, like, you know, in the late 80s that like, if my kids were listening to him, I would be like, shh, you're a little pussy. You know, like, oh, God, really? You're going to listen to that? Come on. Like,
yeah.
You know, but that's the whole thing. It's like, it was nothing like you would think it was, because all they saw were news stories.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Was.
Like, they saw the Donahue episode.
Yeah. So, and the Geraldo.
Yeah.
You know, they thought that was part of it, everything. Well, you know, Skins, they're into this shit too. It's like, there's just a bunch of fucking idiots out there. And if something gets popular, it's you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, you know, what they see is the Gigi Allin side,
yeah,
of it. Which actually, you put out a book about.
See, Mom, everything works out.
You released the book that a guy wrote. He was he was a roadie on the or a merch guy on the last Gigi Allin tour.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah, and he
what was
actually
his merch like.
Just shit.
Dirty. It was just little bags of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually went. We did a Recess tour. I think it was 98. And that same guy went on tour with us after. This was like, he went on tour to promote the book.
Oh, wow.
So he came along, and something happened in West Palm Beach where the bouncer came up to me while we were setting up and said, how long's your set? And I'm like, 20 minutes. He's like, 20 minutes? And I was like, 10? He's like, no, play for like an hour. And I'm like, I don't think we just never do that. But he's like, dude, me and my friend here. I'm like, I thought you worked here. You know, we were just yeah. Basically, the bouncer turned out to be a fan, and his friend was there, and they were both there. 10 minutes into the set, Evan, who wrote the book, comes up, and he's like, it was Gigi's birthday that day. And he comes up, and he's like, oh, I want to sing happy birthday to Gigi, and this is the book. You know, blah, blah, blah. And some kid in the crowd says, fuck you, faggot. And then I grab the mic and say, no, fuck you. You know, like, let him talk, you know, and do my thing. Next thing you know, the guy, the same bouncer that told me to play an hour, comes up. He's like, one more song. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, we got 10 more minutes, man. What did you were telling me to play an hour. What's going on? And so, like, more arguing happens. Next thing you know, he pushes me over this amp. And the craziest brawl in the world starts happening. Like, everybody's Flippy was with us at the time.
Oh wow.
I was wearing these big thick glasses at the time, and I was on the ground, and he just kept punching me and hitting me right in the glasses to where it didn't hurt. It was just hitting the glasses, and the glasses were falling off. And by the time grabbed him and found him on the ground, put him back on. He punched me again. It was like a cycle of this. And it was kind of funny. And I look up and Flippy jumps on his back like a cat with a pint glass and just smashes it over his head. And he, next thing you know, he has his blood all over his face. This, everyone just gets kicked out. And there's like a getaway car with Evan in it. And he's just like freaking the fuck out. And he's like, Gigi Tours were never like this. Freaking out. And I'm just like, dude, calm down. I was the one getting hit. Come on. Like, oh, please calm down. Please. Like,
what do you think happened?
That was his friend. That called him. So that's. And the guy's notorious for being the biggest knucklehead, yet this fucking club owner hired this guy to be the security. And
there was something I remember when you guys got back from tour, it must have been in like 2003, where you guys, I think it might have been Vegas or something like that, where you got into a fight and like a chunk of your hair was ripped out.
Oh, that was St. Louis.
Was it St. Louis?
Yeah.
What happened there?
We were in our van just hanging out before there was like a party going on, and we were not ready to go into the party yet. We were sleeping at this house, and we were just hanging in the van, you know, like four of us, and we get out of the car. This car comes speeding around the corner. Like, this is Hicks total. I don't know how as hick as you could get in St. Louis, I guess. Which
that's pretty hicky.
Yeah. Well, the hickest. Imagine that.
They cross the river.
So
from,
they we just open the door and they just see us come out, and it was just for them. It was just on. They were just wasted. It was two guys and a girl. They're, you know, probably in their 40s or something like that, and basically. I just looked at everybody. I'm like, get your sleeping shit. Let's go. Come on. These guys don't want to talk. Like, let's go. And everyone was taking their time. So I walk across the street and they're just looking at me like, keep walking. And I'm like, no, my friends are right there. And you guys want to do something to them. So next thing, a guy comes and just charges me. And I kind of dodged him a little bit. And then next thing you know, I'm on the ground. He's ripping my hair out, and the lady's just above me, like yelling, just going, get him. It was like the most horrific thing you could ever imagine.
Jesus Christ.
And so all that shit happens. We see them right after pull into their house. So we go back to the party. There's probably about, you know, 20 people there, and they're lubed up themselves, you know. So we tell them what happened. We're just like, in shock. We didn't want to, you know, do anything. We were just kind of like, oh shit, this just happened. We described it. Next thing you know, everyone's just taking shits in bags, getting all these eggs, anything rotten. Like, I mean, this took like an hour of the preparation. We go back to their house, throw shit in their pool. They had a pool. I don't know how fucking redneck piece of shit like that can afford a pool.
Because they're in debt, and they will be for the rest of their lives. I bet they don't even have that house anymore.
Yeah, they just tiled
the bank wanted their pool.
Oh, but before this, our friend Mike Waddell, who was on tour with us in a band called Rivethead, he was kind of spying on them while we were at the party, just in shock, telling everybody. We see them go back to the liquor store for more beer, come back and clip their neighbor's car window off.
Ugh.
And so they park, and then we show up and just throw the shit, slash their tires, you know, put shit on their handles, everything. And I mean, just completely fuck up their whole scene. And then our friend puts a note saying, this is who did it. Next morning, the cops were there arresting those people for
how
everything's fucked up. And like, I wanted to send them a postcard from the road, but.
Or like a 7-inch.
That's insane.
That is insane.
Oh,
I mean, that's the short story of it. It was
because I remember like Flippy was telling some stories. Flippy is a friend of ours who, you know, was a really good videographer, but now lives in Portland, Oregon, hunting Sasquatch. And I'm not saying hunting. Sorry, trying to find Sasquatch. He, you know, the guy.
Oh, he wants
from,
to kill him when he finds him.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to do a lot of things to him.
With his hands.
Is it Finding Bigfoot? Is the show?
Yeah.
In Search of Sasquatch.
No, it's Finding Bigfoot.
I think it's Finding Bigfoot.
Finding Bigfoot. He like knows those guys. That's the guy Glenn or whatever.
I think wasn't Flippy on like the pilot of that?
He was.
Like,
he was. He was also in the. He was in the Bob Saget like documentary him, and also like Flippy, like the guy, one of the not Bobo, but the other guy, the smart guy, like was the officiated. Flippy's wedding, I think.
Yeah.
No, you're really
the smart guy.
I'm sorry I didn't go to your wedding, Flippy.
I didn't know there were going to be celebrities there.
We're going to take a quick break with listening to the Treasure Fleet. The song is Vice off the album Cocomotion. Sure does. Sure does have to be that. A listener of the show and a buddy of mine, Chuck Beebe, who's a really talented comic book artist, said that your dad was his phys ed coach.
Well, you know what? He was a phys ed coach. Or he was. No, he's lying. I don't know. Who is this?
His name is Chuck Beebe. He's a really good comic book artist.
No, he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Also,
I'm betting with his current employment as comic book artist and his dad's old job as phys ed coach, they did not get along.
Yeah, they probably. Also, what is it that I've heard this and I've never gotten the facts straight? Did you piss your pants during a vert ramp contest because you were bored?
Yes.
Tell us about that, please.
I was bored. No, it was actually the last day. Is that cue some sad music?
Okay.
Do we have any?
Not really.
No, that's all right. I'll do this. No. It was okay. I probably told you how much I hated high school and like the whole like. I felt like it was ruining my life, high school.
Yeah.
Right. So it was the last day of high school, and I was already pro at the time. So there was a contest going on that weekend, which was, you know, it's Friday, and I convinced my friend to drive to Visalia with me. He's like, "You want to go to the skate contest this weekend? It's like first day of the rest of our lives." And he's like, "Fuck it, let's do it." And what happened when we used to go on skate trips with, I used to go with Mike Smith, and we'd drive his VW Bug. Like up and down California, and instead of pulling over to switch drivers, if he got tired, he would just like leave the driving seat and say, "Get up there, Conch, come on,
Jesus!"
And the first time, I was just like, "What are you doing? Like, I have my seatbelt," and I just panicked into the driver's seat and went and off, smoothly, like yeah. on the road. And I just assumed this guy knew what to do. And I was driving. I'm like, come on, get it. And he freaked out and jumped in the seat. And I'm in the back. And next thing you know, I see him looking at me in the back seat, like trying to find the seatbelt. And I'm like, we're going off the side of the road. And next thing you know, he yanked the wheel to where we did a total 540. Like,
oh,
like we were driving backwards for – the only thing I remember about it was us going backwards and seeing all the cars just pulling over to the side of the road. And we – I don't know what happened, but nothing happened to the car. Nothing happened to us. We were just on the side of – in this ditch, totally fine. And we cheered and high-fived and hugged. And I thought the first day of my real life I was gonna die. So
wow,
I pretty much
that's a baptism by fire, right?
You know, man. So you know, the skate contest was at the time, and I wasn't doing drugs at the time. I never tried acid, you know, or nothing like that. But at the time, I just like skate contest is nothing. What?
Yeah, in comparison to what else is happening in my life,
it was just you know. And I was not skating good. So I went up and did an axel stall and pissed my pants.
Oh, you actually did it during your run?
During the run. Yeah. And
oh,
then,
that's not disgusting. That's a new trick.
It's art. It's art.
It's art. Okay. It's a puddle stall.
You know, and it was – I felt bad because I had to – I mean, I was pretty much – you know, disqualified from the contest because they had to stop the contest and clean it up.
Anyone else of note in the contest?
What's that?
Was there anyone else of note in that contest? Or was it?
Oh, like I think I don't think Tony Hawk was there, but you know, the normal guys were there.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
It wasn't like a really big contest. Yeah. It was just kind of, you know, I don't know. It was crazy. I you know, Thrasher reported that I got nervous and did it, and
oh.
I was always like, "It's like who pisses nervous?" That's such a wise tale. No one does that.
No,
right?
Just for fun or
for fun? Yeah,
pleasure.
Yeah. Or you know, I used to piss my bed like probably every night when I when I drank too much beer. But
yeah, I remember one time I ran into Rawl, who you know drammed with Toys I Kill and everybody. But he came up to me. He's like, oh my God, I had the craziest morning. I was like, what happened? He's like, well, I woke up like pissing myself. I was like, oh, like you wet your bed? He's like, no. Like everything was just positioned perfectly to where I was streaming. I was pissing on my face. He was pissing on his face. And then he's like, and I was like, oh man, good thing your girlfriend wasn't in the bed. He's like, no. She woke me up when she saw it happen.
Yeah. Well, at least she had the courtesy to wake him up.
Yes, like
My girlfriend at the time saw me one night because I'm not lying. I did this constantly, and I didn't think like maybe I should stop drinking beer or too much of it or whatever. I just I just thought it's a phase. It'll go away. And she woke up one night. Saw me pissing on my 7 inches, my record collection.
So you would sleepwalk?
Sleepwalk, yeah, totally. Everywhere.
I had a buddy that did that.
She didn't wake me up. She went right back. She's like, oh, there he goes again. I'm going back to bed.
At least it's not in the bed this time.
Yeah.
Some guy in Bakersfield one time, I woke up with him pulling me out of a walk-in type of grandfather clock. We were staying at this guy's house. Oh, no. Everyone's at the party laughing, and he's dragging me to the bathroom. Fortunately, I didn't start, but I was opening up this really nice.
He had
clock.
An idea of what was about him.
And he wasn't like the soberest guy.
Yeah, and you just get your stream is being sliced by the pendulum. You know, it's a lot of fun.
That it would serve me right. You know,
that's insane. That's I was actually going to ask a question that is kind of insult. It's like a shitty thing to do. I was going to say, what's like your favorite release on Recess ever? But is that like picking favorites?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Asked my favorite release. That's literally
the next.
Yes, it literally is what it is.
That's straight to the core.
Yeah.
I would definitely. Let's just say my favorite pre-2000s release.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say PUD.
PUD.
Yeah.
I remember PUD.
Only because it no one buys it, and it's a great record, and I want people to hear it.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Is it on?
Probably not.
It's not.
Can you look it up?
I'm going to try.
You are a Bing man, man.
You son of a bitch.
Bing.
Stoppins.
I love biting the hand that feeds.
I don't fucking feed shit. Is 1980s a song?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's a good one, too.
All right, sweet. That's the first one that came up. Let's play this one. PUD, 1980s on Recess Records. That was PUD in the 1980s. All the songs played on the show, besides the Charles Brunson one that was shitting on Todd, are available from Recess Records. And I urge you to support that label. Support all independent labels. Any song you hear on this show, or any, you know, support the bands. Go see them live. Buy the stuff. You know, blah,
don't
blah,
bring
blah.
In competition.
Sorry, only any song you hear, just buy Recess Records. If the you know, covers look the same or something. Or reminds you of somebody, do that. when I was growing up, me and my friends were in a band. We were obsessed with like a lot of the stuff that Recess was putting out, and we wanted to be on the label. And we were convinced that if we sent our recording to you, you would have put it out.
Uh oh,
because we were from Hawaii, and I showed it to you once, and you said. When you got, you're like, yeah, it's all right. You guys from Hawaii? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, yeah, I probably would have put this out. And it destroyed me. It didn't make me feel good. It made me just go, oh, we could have done it.
Oh.
We could have done it. And so here's that band from when I was 15 with a song called Sixth Grade Love Affair.
Put them back. Come on, man. Let's do something that really cooks. Yeah.
All right. That was my band, The You're Outs. That we blew it. You would have done it, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Yep.
I was right up my alley right then.
At least we still fucking skate. I wanna thank our guest, Todd Congelier, for coming and joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Is a long drive up?
Well, from the sticks, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
No one leaves Pedro.
No one leaves Pedro. The quicksand.
It was weird. I was like, what is this place?
Where's the gong?
Yeah.
It's a gong, right? I got it right?
Yeah.
Okay, I said it was a bell.
No, it's not a gong. It's a bell.
No.
Yeah, it's the Korean Friendship Bell. If you ever want to see the Korean Friendship Bell, watch the movie The Usual Suspects. If you want to see the basketball court that's right next to it, watch the Sprite commercial with
Kobe have a Bryant. Recess commercial with that basketball court.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Why'd you point? You pointed the computer.
Because you have it on YouTube, motherfucker. That's where it's at.
Bring it on.
Thanks so much. Twisted Kid are playing some shows coming up, right?
Yeah, we're actually playing this thing called Our Sound. Our?
Sound? Our Sound. Yeah, like Whore Sound.
Yeah, Whore Sound. And Pedro, it starts at 1:30. It's just in downtown Pedro. Just look for it. Toys That Kill, Mike Watt.
It's not Audacity. A big town. It's not a big town. Look for it. You'll
it's
find
on
it.
6th Street. Look for the dinosaur.
2012.
yeah, so if you're listening to this, yeah. Yes, exactly. Don't shoot it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I want to thank our guest, Todd Congelier.
You spelled my name wrong.
Many times. Thank you so much to Todd for joining us on this episode of Jonah Radio. I want to thank our producer, Cash Hartzell, at Cash Hartz on the Twitter.
Hey, guys.
Neil Mahoney on the Neil Mahoney is still trying to figure the... Somehow surlier when he doesn't drink. I don't know. True Irishman. A true Irishman where he's more upset. Oh, God. I have the unluck of the Irish right now when it comes to fucking. So at Neil Mahoney, at Todd Congelier, at Recess Records. You're on the gram. You're on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Gram.
Yeah, the gram, bro.
Sounds like a cocaine social network.
But yeah, it's any of the stuff you heard, all the stuff you heard besides Charles Brunson was it's available on Recess Records
and the DMX Christmas song
and the DM. No, that's a split.
I put that out.
Yeah, exactly. But Todd has been consistently putting out some of the best music in the past few years of just like really, really great rock and roll stuff. And I urge you to buy it, and it's available on all the digital sites. But also, if you go to recessrecords.com, you can get the stuff there. Go see the bands live; they're all over the place. And we want to thank Blue Collar Distro for, you know, supporting the show. Buy shirts from there. And I think that's it. I think that's all we got. We're going to leave you now with another band from Recess Records. And this is the band Summer Vacation with the – you know what? I was going to play Post to You, but I think I'm going to play Tiffany Sucks, which is literally about – the singer Tiffany and how she sucks.
The wit.
Also, on top of that, go watch the movie I Think We're Alone Now. It is the creepiest movie you will ever see.
Yeah.
It's about the Tiffany super fans that exist in the world. One of them's a weird dude. One of them's a weird dude that's a chick. Just a thing. Tiffany Sucks by Summer Vacation off the album Condition. Please keep on listening. Thank you guys so much. Keep on sending in your stuff. We are lacking in theme songs, so if people could send more of those in, they're a lot of fun.
And once again, so sorry for episode one.
So sorry for episode one. Thanks a lot for listening to Jonah Radio. We're alone now.
leaving Nerdist.com.